بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. As we spoke about in the introduction last week, we're going to go through an explanation of the ayat of the Quran, beginning with Surah Al-Fatiha. And I mentioned last week that these lessons will be based upon an Arabic book of tafsir called Taysir Al-Kareem Al-Rahman Fi Tafsir Al-Kalam Al-Mannan by Sheikh Abdurrahman Ibn Nasir Al-Sa'di Rahimahullah, who was the teacher of Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. And this tafsir, it is known as Tafsir Al-Sa'di. And the style of the author in this tafsir, so that we know, is number one, it's very concise. So he doesn't go into a lot of detail. You'll have noticed some of the larger books of tafsir are many volumes. And yet this one, it's a medium-sized volume. So when he did tafsir of the Quran, he kept it very concise. Secondly, his main intention was to explain the ayah. So for example, in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, the author, Ibn Kathir, he'll mention a hadith regarding the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. He might mention, for example, Asbab al-Nuzul, why the ayah or why the surah was revealed, and so on and so forth. And for this reason, it's a larger book. And other books like that as well. Tafsir al-Sa'di, it's very concise, and therefore it's appropriate for a beginner, somebody who's just starting to learn tafsir, and somebody who just wants to know the meaning behind the ayat. So we'll go through it, and if Allah makes it easy, we'll try to bring some benefits from some of the other books of tafsir, but we'll mainly concentrate on Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Tafsir al-Sa'di. Secondly, as we agreed last week, we'll begin by two or three brothers reciting the Arabic, just to improve our tajweed as we go along. And of course, Surah Al-Fatiha, alhamdulillah, we've all memorized it, but when we come to Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, so on and so forth, then we can all read, even if it's just one ayah or two ayat, and it will also improve our tajweed. So we'll begin with Surah Al-Fatiha, whoever wants to read. It's two or three brothers. You on my right.
I'll be the first
to you. Yalla, okay. بسم الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين صدق الله العظيم.
Firstly, akhi, it's not from the sunnah to recite Sadaqallahu al-Azim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never used to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim after the recitation of the Quran. Also, in terms of the isti'adha, a'udhu billah, it's only recited at the beginning of any recitation. And bismillah is only recited at the beginning of a surah. So for example, the next brother, for example, if you were reading in the middle of Surah Al-Fatiha, you don't say bismillah. Bismillah is only said at the beginning of every single surah. And A'udhu Billah is said at the beginning of the recitation. So if, for example, we recited Surah Al-Fatiha, and then after this we went to some of Surah Al-Baqarah, we won't recite A'udhu Billah again. And also between each other...
We have to recite A'udhu Billah.
No, we don't. Yeah. A'udhu Billah is only reciting the beginning of a recitation. And also... The next brother, they don't need to recite A'udhu Billah again. They can do if they want. But as for Bismillah, it is only recited at the beginning of the surah. And as I mentioned, Sadaqallahu al-Azim isn't said at the end of the recitation.
What if you open the Surah Al-Baqarah and you're reading halfway between? Do you just recite Bismillah?
No, not Bismillah. Okay. So Bismillah is only said at the beginning of any surah. Yeah. But if you were reciting, for example, Juz Amma, Surah Al-Fil, and then Al-Quraysh, and then you recite Bismillah after each one, at the beginning of each one. No, tafadhal. Yeah.
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ.
difficulty to recite or Surah Al-Fatiha? Tafadhal akhi. Surah Al-Fatiha. From the beginning.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
So notice, as Brother Ridwan recited, that the word إياك, it has a shadda on the ya. Yeah, it isn't إياك, it's إياك with the shadda on the ya. No. إياك
نعبد وإياك نستعين.
Try to differentiate between the sad and the seen. So ihdinassi, sad is heavy, and mustaqim is like the seen is light. No. Also try to differentiate between the alif and the ayn. Yeah? So, alameen with an ayn from the bottom of the throat. Good. Perfect. Iyaka.
Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
مستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
نعم تقرأ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم ملك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
الصاد اهدنا الصي اهدنا الصراط
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
أحسنت.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
فتح الله عليكم. So the first which is mentioned is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this here isn't an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. So the Basmala isn't an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. The Basmala, ay Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Arabic, when the scholars refer to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they call it the Basmala. Yeah? The Basmala is mentioned to differentiate the beginning of one surah to the ending of that surah and the beginning of the next surah. And for this reason, the seven ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, Basmala is not the first ayah. The first ayah is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And for this reason, the clear evidence is that when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in our prayers out aloud, like Al-Maghrib and Al-Isha, we don't recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But as I mentioned, it's there at the beginning of the surah just to differentiate between one surah and another surah. It contains three names of Allah. Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. You begin by saying Bismillah, أَبْتَدِئُ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the meaning of Bismillah is, I begin with every name of Allah. I begin with every name of Allah. And in your minds, what you're saying is, I begin with the names of Allah, this recitation. Or for example, if you are leaving your house, I begin with the name of Allah, the exit from my house. If you were to, for example, begin work, I begin with the names of Allah, the work which I am about to do. And the reason why we always start anything with the basmala is for two main reasons. Firstly, seeking blessing and barakah from that which we are about to do. That Allah places, because we're beginning it with the name of Allah, Allah places blessing in it. And there is a hadith which many of the ulama mention, although the hadith has a weakness in it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu amrin dhi balin lam yabda fihi bi bismillah fahuwa abtar." That anything, any important thing, a person does not begin it with the name of Allah, then it is abtar. And abtar means it is deficient in its blessing. And for this reason, you'll realize in all of the du'as, when you leave the house, you say Bismillah wa tawakkaltu ala Allah. When you're about to eat some food, you begin with Bismillah, right? The second reason why we mention the basmala before anything we do is because of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he would begin his writings, when he used to write to the people, he would mention the basmala. So these are the two reasons why we mention the bismillah before we do anything. I said it contains three names of Ar-Rabb, of the Lord. The first name is Allah, the second name is Ar-Rahman, and the third name is Ar-Rahim. The word Allah, lafzul jalalah Allah, in its origin is taken from two separate words, Al and Ilah. And then these two words are brought together and it is Allah. From Al-Ilah, it becomes Allah. The meaning of Ilah is Ma'luh, a Ma'bud. So the meaning of Ilah is any deity which is worshipped, any deity which is worshipped. This is the meaning of Ilah. And for this reason we say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha. There is no deity worthy of worship, illallah, except Allah. So the meaning of ilah is ma'luh, a ma'bud. And therefore Allah, this word Allah, it means the only one true deity who is worthy and deserving of all worship, besides whom nobody else is deserving of any worship. This is the meaning of this beautiful name, Allah. And this is the main name of our Creator. This word Allah, this is the main name of our Creator. For this reason we say, Ar-Rahman is one of the names of Allah. Ar-Rahim is one of the names of Allah. We never say, Allah is the name of Ar-Rahman, and Allah is the name of Ar-Rahim. We always say, Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah. Ar-Rahim is the name of Allah. Al-Ghafur is the name of Allah. So this shows us that the great name of the one true Lord and deity is Allah. And then all of the other names that we know return back to this name. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. For Allah are the beautiful names. And so Ar-Rahman is one of the beautiful names of Allah. Ar-Rahim is one of the beautiful names of Allah. And as for Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they are also two of the beautiful names of Allah. Both of them are centered and around Ar-Rahmah, towards mercy. The meaning of Ar-Rahman is Dhur-Rahmah Al-Wasi'ah, the one who is possessing extensive amounts of mercy, the most merciful. And as for Ar-Rahim, then it means Dhur-Rahmah Al-Wasilah, i.e. the one who then bestows this mercy upon the rest of the creation. So Ar-Rahman is a description of the that of Allah, of the essence of Allah. That Allah in His essence, He is the most merciful. Ar-Rahim is a description of the action of Allah. That Allah then bestows this mercy upon humans, upon jinn, upon animals, upon the believers, and so on and so forth. So Ar-Rahman is describing His that, and Ar-Rahim is describing His af'al, His actions. So Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, الشيخ السعدي says, إسماني دالاني على أنه تعالى ذو الرحمة الواسعة العظيمة. That these two names, they prove to us and they show us that He, the Most High, is possessing of extensive, great amounts of mercy. التي وسعت كل شيء, which has or which encompasses everything. The mercy of Allah, it encompasses everything. وَعَمَّتْ كُلَّ حَيٍّ, every living thing is covered by the mercy of Allah. وَكَتَبَهَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الْمُتَّبِعِينَ لِأَنْبِيَائِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And then Allah has specified even more that His mercy will be for the people of taqwa. And His mercy will be for those people who follow His prophets and follow His messengers. فَهَؤُلَى لَهُمْ الرَّحْمَةَ الْمُطْلَقَةَ. So the people of taqwa, those who follow the prophets and the messengers, follow the sunnah of the prophet, for them is absolute rahmah, absolute mercy. Meaning rahmah in this dunya and rahmah in the hereafter. Rahmah of your bodies, of your nourishment, and also rahmah of your souls. Only for the people of taqwa and those who follow the sunnah of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ عَدَاهُمْ فَلَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِنْهَا. And as for the rest of creation, who are not from the people of taqwa and they don't follow the sunnah of the anbiya wa rusul, they still have a portion of the mercy of Allah. Because if it wasn't for the mercy of Allah, they wouldn't be living. If it wasn't for the mercy of Allah, they wouldn't find food. They wouldn't be able to live under shelter and a roof. So everything and everybody is covered by the mercy of Allah. But the mercy of Allah, there is a special, specific mercy of Allah for the people of taqwa, and that is the rahmah which will also be in the hereafter, and the rahmah of the soul, the rahmah of hidayah, of guidance and at-tawfiq. And as for the rest of the people and the rest of the creation, even the kuffar, even the enemies of Islam, they also have a portion, a share of the mercy of Allah. And that is the rahmah of the dunya only, but nothing from the hereafter. And these three names, Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we believe that that Allah has beautiful names. Each name has a sifa, an attribute, and the sifat also have an athar, they also have an effect. So we believe in three things. We believe in the name of Allah, we believe in the attribute behind the name of Allah, and then we believe in the effect that this sifa, this attribute has upon the creation. As an example, the author says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوَاعِدِ الْمُتَّفَقَ عَلَيْهَا بَيْنَ السَّلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ. That you should know from the principles which have been agreed upon from the salaf of this ummah, the great imams who came before us. الْإِيمَانُ بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ. Having iman in the names of Allah, number one. وَصِفَاتِهِ, and having iman in the attributes or the description behind this name, and also having iman in the ahkam al-sifat, i.e. the effects that this attribute has upon the rest of the creation. And then he gives in examples. He says, فَيُؤْمِنُونَ مَثْلًا. So as an example, the imams of the Salaf, they used to believe أَنَّهُ رَحْمَنْ الرَّحِيمْ, that Allah is الرَّحْمَنْ الرَّحِيمْ, meaning we believe that Allah has two beautiful names. One of His beautiful names is Ar-Rahman, and the other beautiful name is Ar-Rahim. ذُرْرَحْمَةً أَلَّتِ اتَّصَفَ بِهَا الْمُتَعَلَّقَ بِالْمَرْحُومِ. And then we also believe that these two names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the attribute behind them is Rahmah. So they aren't just names, rather they are real names which have an attribute behind them. So he is called Ar-Rahman because he has the attribute of Rahmah. He's called Ar-Rahim because he has the attribute of Ar-Rahmah. And then he says, فَالنِّعْم كُلُّهَا أَثَرٌ مِنْ آثَارِ رَحْمَتِهِ. And then the blessings which we see around us, all of them are an effect of this Rahmah of Allah. And the reason why we mention this is because firstly to differentiate between humans and between Allah. So humans, we have a name, but there might not be any attribute behind that name. So for example, a person is called John as an example. There's no meaning to that word John. There's no attribute, there's no sifa from this word. And also Muslims. You have a person, for example, who's called Abdullah, And Abdullah means a person who worships Allah. And yet he's not practicing the religion at all. And he doesn't worship Allah at all. You have a person whose name is Salih. A person whose name is righteous, Salih. And yet maybe he's the most disobedient of people. So when it comes to the humans, either our names have no meanings, or sometimes we have names, but we contradict the meaning behind that name. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He has a name, and then His name agrees with the attribute behind that name, and then that attribute has an effect upon the rest of creation. And you can say this with every single name of Allah. And the author mentions, يُقَالُ فِي الْعَلِيمِ, that regarding the name Al-Aleem, we say, إِنَّهُ Al-Aleem. We say Allah is Al-Aleem, meaning one of His beautiful names is Al-Aleem. ذُو عِلْمٍ, and He has the attribute of knowledge, because Al-Aleem means the most knowing. يَعْلَمُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and He knows everything. So we affirm for Allah the name Al-Aleem. We affirm for Allah the attribute that He has knowledge behind this name. And then the effect is He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. He is Al-Qadir. We believe His name is Al-Qadir. ذو قدرة كاملة. And then the attribute is He has complete and perfect ability. So the meaning of Al-Qadir is the one who has complete and perfect ability over everything. Nothing escapes the ability and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, what is the effect? يَقْدِرُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The effect is that He can do whatever He wants. He has the ability to do whatever He wants. And this principle was agreed upon by the Salaf al-Ummah, وَأَئِمَّتِهِمْ, the Salaf of this Ummah, those who came before. However, there were sects who came afterwards who went against this. So some sects, like the Mu'tazila, they said, or the extreme ones said, we don't give to Allah any names or any attributes. We don't give Him neither a name or an attribute. Then some sects, like the Mu'tazila, they said, we'll accept that Allah has names, but we're not going to accept the meanings and the attributes behind these names. And then some sects came afterwards, like the Asha'ira, for example, and they said that we believe Allah has names, we believe Allah has attributes, but we're going to change the meaning of these attributes. We're not going to accept these attributes in the literal sense, but we're going to change the meaning behind these attributes. And some of them said, we only accept 7 attributes of Allah. We accept that Allah is Al-Hayy, He's living. We accept Allah is Al-Aleem, He has knowledge. We accept Allah is Al-Qadir, He has ability, and so on and so forth. But some of the other names of Allah, then we're going to change the meaning because logically they don't make sense to us. And if we accept this particular name, then it must necessitate X, Y, Z. And we're going to cover this as we go on through the tafsir. The point is that if we want our belief in Tawheed and our belief in Allah to be correct, we have to believe in 3 things. We believe in the ism of Allah, in the name. We believe in the sifa, we believe in the attribute behind the name, and we believe in the athar, the effect that this attribute has upon the rest of the creation. And so after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and as I mentioned, these are the 3 names of Allah, Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then we begin with the first ayah, which is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The meaning of Alhamd is Al-Thana ala Allah bi sifat al-Kamal. The meaning of Alhamd is we are praising Allah with every word and every type of perfection. This is the meaning of Alhamdulillah. That every type of perfection is for Allah and nobody else besides Allah. And we do this mahabbatan wa ta'zeeman. We do this out of our love for Allah and out of us exalting Allah. Why do we attribute to Allah perfection? Because we know He is Ar-Rahman. We know He is Al-Aleem. We know He is Al-Qadir. We believe in the names of Allah. We believe in the attributes of Allah. We see the effects of the rahmah of Allah upon creation. We know the effects of the knowledge of Allah. We see the effects of the complete ability of Allah and so on and so forth. So the meaning of Alhamd is Al-Thana ala Allahi bi sifat al-Kamal. Praising Allah with every single attribute of perfection. And therefore, any imperfection, any deficiency, any weakness cannot be attributed to Allah Jalla fil Ula. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in His that, in His essence. And He is perfect in His sifat, in His attributes. And He is also perfect in His actions. So all of the actions of Allah are based upon adl, upon justice. So when somebody, for example, has been given a lot of money and another person hasn't been given as much money, when this one was created rich and this one was created poor, all of this was done due to the hikmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah and the justice of Allah. And only Allah knows that this poor person, if he was given the wealth of this rich person, how much dhulm would he have committed? And this wealth which that person have, maybe it would take this person towards, as I mentioned, dhulm and kufr and ma'asi and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows why this person is given more and this one is given less. Why this one is given better health and the other one is given less health and so on and so forth. So every single action of Allah, the af'al of Allah, all of them are based upon al-adl wal-hikmah. All of them are based upon justice and based upon wisdom. And then we say, or then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabb al-alameen, that He is the Rabb of the alameen. Al-Rabb is also one of the names of Allah. One of the beautiful names of Allah is Al-Rabb. And the meaning of Al-Rabb is Al-Murabbi Jami' al-alameen. The one who gives tarbiyah, mean the one who sustains and cultivates the alameen. And the alameen is everything besides Allah. So everything besides Allah is alam. Alam here means the rest of creation, the rest of existence, the rest of the universe. And in the English they translate it as being the Lord of the worlds. What do you have there?
The cherisher and sustainer of the worlds.
Of the worlds. No. So alam, kullu ma siwa Allah. Everything besides Allah is alam, i.e. that which is in existence, and it has been created, the rest of the universe, the rest of the world. And Allah is their Rabb. Allah is the Rabb, the Murabbi, i.e. the sustainer, the cherisher, the one who blesses them, the one who gives mercy upon them. Allah is their Rabb. And the author, rahimullah, Shaykh al-Sa'di, he says, وَتَرْبِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى لِخَلْقِهِ نَوْعًا. That this sustenance, this tarbiyah, this cultivation which Allah has given to the rest of creation, it is two types. عَامَّةٌ وَخَاصَّةٌ. A general sustenance and then a specific sustenance. So the general sustenance, the general cultivation, the general tarbiyah is خَلْقُهُ لِلْمَخْلُوقِينَ. The fact that He creates the rest of creation. وَرِزْقُهُمْ. And the fact that He gives them rizq. And the fact that He guides them to the benefits of their dunya. So the fact that we are able to eat is because Allah is our Rabb. Because He is the one who showed us the way to eat. The fact that we live healthy, because Allah is our Rabb. And all of this is the tarbiyah of Allah for all of the creation. And then He has tarbiyah khasa, a specific cultivation or sustenance. And that is tarbiyatuhu li awliyaihi, the tarbiyah which He gives to His awliya, the people of taqwa, those upon tawheed and who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how does He cultivate these people? فَيُرَبِّيهِمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. That He gives them the cultivation of iman, meaning He cultivates their bodies and He cultivates their hearts. He cultivates their souls. He cultivates them for the dunya and He also provides and sustains for them for the hereafter. فَيُوَفِّقُهُمْ لَهُ. He gives them the tawfiq and the guidance for this iman. وَيَدْفَ عَنْهُمْ الصَّوَارِفِ. And He removes from them any obstacles towards al-iman. And then the author said that maybe this is the reason, وَلَعَلَّ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى هُوَ السِّرِّ فِي كَوْنِ أَكْثَرْ أَدْعِيَةَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِلَفْظِ الرَّبِّ. That perhaps this is the secret or the wisdom why the majority of the du'as of the Prophet was with the word Rabb. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua, often he would use the word Ar-Rab, appreciating that Allah has nourished not just his dunya for him, but also nourished the hereafter. Nourished his body and also nourished his soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a Rabbil Alameen. He has this tarbiyah for creation, for the Muslims and the kuffar. The tarbiyah of Allah towards for the kuffar and the mercy of Allah towards the kuffar is restricted to the dunya. And as for the tarbiyah of Allah towards the believers and the rahmah, the mercy of Allah towards the believers, then it is special and specific and it covers this dunya and more importantly, it covers the hereafter. And in reality, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salah, when we are reciting Quran, then these are the meanings which we should be thinking about and pondering over. Because we said last week in last lesson that one of the main objectives behind the Quran is that we make tadabbur and tafakkur, we ponder and contemplate over the meanings of the Quran. So from now, when the Imam recites Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you realize that Alhamd, I am praising Allah, bi sifatil kamal, with all attributes of perfection. He is perfect in everything he does. Rabbil Alameen, because he has cultivated and provided and sustained all of creation. But his blessing upon me as a believer is even greater. And then Allah says, Maliki Yawmiddin, that he is Malik of Yawmiddin. And again, Al-Malik is one of the names, the beautiful names of Allah Jalla fil Ula. And what is the meaning of Al-Malik? Man ittasafa bi sifatil mulk, the one who has the attribute of Al-Mulk, of ownership. That he owns everything. All of the dominion, all of the kingdom is under his ownership. So his name is Al-Malik. The sifa, the attribute is Dhul Mulk, the one who has ownership, the one who has the kingdoms. And the athar, the effects of this attribute is Annahu Ya'mur wa Yanha, that he orders and he forbids as he wants. Wa yuthib wa yu'aqib, and he rewards and he punishes. Wa yatasarrafu bimamalikihi bi jami'i anwa'i tasarrafat, and he does with what he owns whatever he wants. So like Allah said in Surah Ali Imran, Allahumma malikul mulk. O Allah, the malik of all of the kingdom and all of the dominion and everything which exists. Then after he says, tu'izzu man tasha wa tudhillu man tasha, that you honor whoever you want, you bring down whoever you want, and Allah rewards whoever he wants, and he punishes whoever he wants, and so on and so forth. So this is the meaning of Al-Malik. Yawmuddin is Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So the meaning of Yawmuddin is Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The word Ad-Din in the Arabic language, it has two meanings. And both of these meanings are opposite to each other. In the Arabic language, it's the same word. And if you think about it, it's like the same word has two opposite meanings. And we know the meaning depending upon the context in which we are using. So one of the meanings of Ad-Din is actions. The meaning of Ad-Din is actions, i.e. acts of worship. When Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making their deen sincere for Allah, meaning making their ibadat and making their righteous actions sincerely for the sake of Allah. So the first meaning of Ad-Din is actions, acts of worship. The other meaning of Ad-Din isn't the action, but the reward for the action. So Ad-Din can also mean Al-Jaza, which means the reward or the punishment for the action. And in this ayah, Maliki Yawmiddin, the Malik of the Yawmiddin, does it refer to Yawmiddin, either day of actions, or does it refer to the day of reward and punishment? Which one do you think it refers to? We said Ad-Din has two meanings. Either it means actions or it means jaza. In this ayah, Maliki Yawmiddin, does it refer to the day of actions or does it refer to the day of recompense, reward and punishment? Why? Because on that day there is no actions. this dar, this abode, is the abode of actions, and there is no reward. But the hereafter is the day of reward, and there are no more actions after that, as is narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu. He said something similar to this. He said, Al-Yawm Dar al-Amal bila jaza. That today, this dunya we are living in, this is the dunya of striving to do righteous actions, and there's no reward yet. And as for tomorrow, i.e. after death, فَيَوْمُ الْجَزَاءُ لَا عَمَلَ فِيهِ, then it is the day of recompense, of reward and punishment, but there's no more actions on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, that Allah is the Malik of the hereafter. But we know Allah is the Malik of the dunya and the deen, and يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. He isn't only the Malik of the hereafter, He's also the Malik of this dunya. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call Himself Maliki Yawmiddin? Why did He not just say the Malik of the dunya and Yawmiddin? Why did He specify Yawmiddin? And the answer is that in this dunya, Allah is Al-Malik, but there are also other muluk, there are also other kings, there are also other owners. Yes, absolute mulk is for Allah. And even the kingdoms of the kings, it is only temporary. But in the hereafter, nobody will claim mulk. Even the kings on that day will not claim any mulk. And therefore, the mulk of Allah, it will become clear to everybody, even the kings on that day, even if though in this day they deny the mulk of Allah. For this reason, Allah said, Maliki Yawmiddin. Because Allah is the Malik of the dunya and also Yawmiddin. And the author says, وَأَضَافَ الْمُلْكَ لِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, that Allah attached His mulk to يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. وَهُوَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and it is يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. يَوْمَ يُدَانَ النَّاسُ فِيهِ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ خَيْرِهَا وَشَرِّهَا, on that day in which people will be recompensed for their actions, the good actions will be rewarded and the evil actions will be punished. And then Allah says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this ayah here, this is the essence and the pinnacle of At-Tawheed. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. In fact, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he says, سِرَّ الْقُرْآنِ سُورَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ, that the treasure of the Qur'an is Surah Al-Fatiha. وَسِرُّ الْفَاتِحَةِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and the treasure of Surah Al-Fatiha is this ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In the Arabic language, normally, if we were normally speaking Arabic, we would say نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُ إِيَّاكَ, because normally in the Arabic language, the fi'l comes first and the maf'ulun bihi comes afterwards, right? You say, for example, أَكَلَ التُّفَاحَ, he ate the apple. So always the thing which is done comes afterwards. So according to normal Arabic, the ayah should have been نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُ إِيَّاكَ. In the Arabic language, there is a principle, and that principle is تَقْدِيم الْمَعْمُول يُفِيد الْحَصَر. تَقْدِيم الْمَعْمُول يُفِيد الْحَصَر. In the Arabic language, any word which should have come last and instead it's been brought forward, the benefit behind this, it limits it. Right? Meaning, نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ means we worship you. It could mean we worship you and we worship somebody else. But when إِيَّاكَ was brought before نَعْبُدُ, it limits the worship. So what you are saying isn't we worship you, you are saying, oh Allah, we worship you alone and nobody else besides you do we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and we truly seek help from you and nobody besides you do we truly seek help from. So in normal Arabic grammar, it should have been نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ, but Allah brought the second word to the front and this limits your ibadah to Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ means is from ibadah, worship. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is from the word isti'ana, which is seeking help. And isti'ana, Allah is telling us that isti'ana is also a type of ibadah. So the reason why Allah mentioned إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ after إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, even though isti'ana is a type of ibadah, is first Allah mentioned ibadah generally, and then after this He mentions specific type of ibadah, which is isti'ana, which is seeking help. And therefore, even isti'ana, even seeking help, has to be from Allah alone. But when we're living in the dunya, in our worldly life, we're always seeking help from each other. Right? I might say to you, can you give me a lift, for example? Can you bring this bench for me? And this is also isti'ana. This is also seeking help. So how can we say, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, oh Allah, only you do we seek help from, then at the same time, we're always seeking help from each other. And is us seeking help from each other also a form of shirk? Because we said isti'ana is a form of worship, and any form of worship can only be for Allah alone. And therefore, if we're seeking isti'ana, seeking help from each other, is this a form of shirk? The reason why it isn't a form of shirk is because the isti'ana, the seeking help between creation, between humans, has to fulfill four conditions. And if these four conditions are not fulfilled, then it becomes shirk. The first condition is that the person you are asking help from, he has to be hay, he has to be living. So you cannot seek help from somebody who is dead. As soon as you seek help from somebody who has died, this becomes shirk. The second condition is that the person who is living has to be hadir, he has to be present. And when we say he has to be present, meaning you have to be able to communicate to him, whether it's by phone, whether it's an email, whether it's speaking in front of him. So if, for example, there is a person, let's say in India, Pakistan, and he's living, and here people are seeking help from him, oh Fulan, help us, this becomes shirk. Because although he's hay, he's not hadir. The third condition is that the person who is hay, he's living, and he's hadir, he's present, he has to be qadir. He has to have the ability to help you. So you cannot go to somebody who's living and he's present and then ask him to bring the rain. Why? Because he doesn't have qudra upon bringing the rain. He doesn't have the ability to bring the rain. And then the fourth condition is that when you are seeking help from this person who is now hayyun, hadirun, qadirun, what you believe inside you, that he is only a wasila which Allah has put upon this earth. He is only a cause which Allah has placed upon the earth. But the one who has the real ability is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, when we go to a doctor and we seek a cure from the doctor, we seek help from the doctor, we know he is hay, we know he is hadir, we know he is qadir, he is able to give us that medicine. But it isn't the doctor who is curing us, it isn't the medicine which is curing us, but the cure is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, from the perfection of at-tawheed, is when a person says, for example, oh, you were ill last week and now you're feeling better, what medicine did you take? You say, after the tawfiq of Allah, I went to see this doctor and he gave me this medicine. And you mention the tawfiq of Allah first, the cure of Allah first, the qudra of Allah first, and then you mention whatever occurred in the dunya. And if you were to believe that this person is hayyun, hadirun, qadirun, he is the actual one who did, and he's the actual one who decreed or had the ability, then this becomes a shirk. So it isn't shirk with these four conditions. The person has to be hayyun, living, hadirun, you can communicate to him, present, qadirun, has to have the ability, and that you believe that he is a sabab, he's only a cause who Allah has placed upon this earth. And the one who really decrees and brings about good and brings about harm is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين أي نخصك وحدك بالعبادة والاستعانة, meaning, oh Allah, we specify you alone exclusively in our worship and in our speaking of help. It's as if, فكأنه يقول, as if the person who is reciting this ayah is saying, نعبدك ولا نعبد غيرك, that oh Allah, we are worshipping you, we are not worshipping anybody besides you. وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِكَ, and we are seeking your help, وَلَا نَسْتَعِينُ بِغَيْرِكَ, and we do not seek help from anybody besides you. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, أي, دُلُّنَا وَأَرْشِدْنَا وَوَفِّقْنَا إِلَى الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You are now making dua to Allah. You're saying, oh Allah, show us the straight path. Oh Allah, guide us the straight path. O Allah, direct us towards the straight path. What is As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim? It is At-Tariq Al-Wadih Al-Musil Ila Allahi Wa La Jannati. That As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim is the clear, straight path الَّذِي لَعْوِجَاجَ فِيهِ, which has no bends or curving in it. It is straight and it's clear, which takes a person to Allah and his Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. So this is As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim, the clear white, the clear path. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَى, that I have left you upon a clear white path. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, it's day, it's night, is as clear as its day. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك, and nobody will deviate from this straight path except he will destroy himself. And look, the Prophet said that this clear, white, clear path, ليلها كنهارها, its night is as clear as its day. When you're driving on a road, when you're walking, for example, in the day, everything is clear. Why? Because there is sunshine, there is light. You see the signs very clearly. You see the road bumps very clearly. Anybody who's crossing in front of you, see very clearly. But when we travel at night, then it's a bit more difficult. Why? Because there isn't as much light. So you might miss, for example, a sign. You might take the wrong direction. You might not notice a person walking in front of you. But as for As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim, the night is as clear as its day. There's no darkness in it. It is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this Sirat al-Mustaqim? What is As-Sirat al-Mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it in the next ayah. If you remember in the first lesson, we spoke about making tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. This is the first level of tafsir, that another ayah explains a previous ayah. This is here, tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. Allah mentions As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Then he says, "Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim," I, the path of those whom you have blessed and given the ni'm, the blessings. So Allah explains as-sirat al-mustaqim, what it is. He says, it is sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have blessed. Who are they? An-nabiyyin, was-siddiqin, was-shuhada, was-salihin, wa-hasuna ulaika rafiqa. Allah said in the Quran, it is the path of the prophets, the nabiyyin, was-siddiqeen, and the path of the truthful ones, was-shuhada, and the path of the martyrs and the scholars, was-salihin, and the path of the righteous people. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, I, not the path of those who earned your anger. And who were the ones who earned the anger of Allah? الَّذِينَ عَرَفُوا الْحَقِّ, الَّذِي عَرَفَ الْحَقِّ وَتَرَكَهُ, the one who knows the truth, knows the knowledge, and then leaves it. أي اليهود, I, the Yahud. And as for the Dalin, the misguided ones, الَّذِينَ تَرَكُوا الْحَقْ عَلَى جَهْلٍ وَضَلَالٍ, those people who abandon the truth because of ignorance and because of misguidance, كَالنِّسَارَ, like the Nasara. And the ulama mentioned a benefit from this ayah. They say that whoever has knowledge, whoever knows something and then doesn't act upon it, then he has resembled the Yahud. Because the Yahud, al-Maghdubi alayhim, they had the knowledge, they knew the ayat, but they were arrogant and they didn't use to practice these ayat. So whoever from amongst the Muslims has knowledge of something and then doesn't do that thing, then he has a resemblance to some of the Yahud. And those people who do actions which they think are righteous, but it is upon ignorance, meaning innovations, there's no evidence for them, then they have a resemblance to the Nasara. And for this reason we see the Nasara, they have changed their religion more than the Jews have changed their religion. So the Jews, their religion is still somewhat authentic to what came previously to some things. As for the Christians, the Nasara, they innovate and they change, and every single year they change the way that they do things. Why? Because of bid'ah, because of innovations. They do things without any evidence and without any knowledge, even from their own text and their own revelation. And as for the word Ameen, then this is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. What Ameen means, Allahumma stajib, O Allah, answer our supplications. Oh Allah, respond to our supplications. And it is said specifically in the prayer. Specifically it's said in the prayer, and it isn't an ayah from the ayat of the Quran. But its meaning is Ameen ay Allahumma stajib. Oh Allah, answer our supplications. Which supplication? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladina namta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dhalin. The author, rahimullah, he says regarding Surah Al-Fatiha, he says, فَهَذِهِ سُورَةَ عَلَىٰ إِجَازِهَا, that this Surah of the Qur'an, despite it being so concise, so few words and so few ayat, قَدْ احْتَوَتْ عَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ تَحْتَوِي عَلَيْهِ سُورَةٌ مِّن سُورِ الْقُرْآنِ. It contains within it profound meanings which other surahs of the Qur'an might not contain. So the larger surahs of the Qur'an, some of them do not contain some of the meanings which this small short surah of the Quran contains. What does it contain? تضمنت أنواع التوحيد الثلاثة. Firstly, Surah Al-Fatiha, it contains within it the three types of tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Alhamdulillahi Rabb al-Alameen, Malik Yawm al-Din, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. It contains Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, i.e. the tawheed of worshipping Allah alone, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it contains Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and attributes of Allah we mentioned. Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Ar-Rab, and so on and so forth. So one of the evidences for the three types of Tawheed is Surah Al-Fatiha. All of Surah Al-Fatiha contains the three types of At-Tawheed. It also contains Ithbat al-Nubuwwah, the affirmation of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is this? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Who showed us this straight path? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Surah Al-Fatiha contains ithbat al-nubuwwah. It affirms the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa ithbatul jaza ala al-a'mal. It also affirms for us the hereafter, and that every single person is going to be rewarded or punished for his actions of this dunya. Where is this? Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah mentions Yawm al-Din, i.e. Yawm al-Qiyamah. بل تضمنت الرد على جميع أهل البدع والضلال في قوله اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Rather, this surah, in it is a refutation of all of the people of innovation. All of the people of innovation, all of the deviated sects, and all of the sects of misguidance, Surah Al-Fatiha refutes them, because we make dua to Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, I not the path of Ahlul Bid'ah, not the path of the people of innovation. And Al-Ibadah, worship, it is only termed as Ibadah if it fulfills two conditions. Ibadah is only called Ibadah if two conditions are fulfilled. Firstly, Al-Ikhlas, that act of worship which you are doing, you have to do sincerely for the sake of Allah, ay at-tawheed. So if shirk mixes with any act of ibadah, we don't call it ibadah. It has to be upon ikhlas and has to be upon at-tawheed. The second condition of ibadah is إذا كانت مأخوذة عن رسول الله, that this act of worship has to be taken from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whoever does an act of worship which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, or whoever does an act of worship which the Prophet did do but he does it in a way different to the way of the Prophet, we don't call it ibadah. Rather, it is called bid'ah. So if an act of ibadah is done for other than the sake of Allah, we don't call it ibadah, we call it shirk. And if an act of ibadah is not done according to the sunnah of the Prophet, then we call it al-bid'ah and we do not call it al-ibadah. And these two matters, al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah, i.e. sincerity and tawheed, and mutaba'ah, following the sunnah of the Prophet, they are the two conditions for the validity of any act of worship. If somebody did an act of worship with sincerity, with ikhlas, with tawheed, but not according to the sunnah, it is rejected. And if a person did an act of worship upon the sunnah, but not upon a tawheed, it is rejected and it is not accepted. And then the author finished, he said, وتضمنت إخلاص الدين لله تعالى عبادة واستعانة. And this surah, it also contains the order for us to make all of our acts of worship and seeking help ikhlasun lillah, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Falhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And so therefore all praises for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And with this, walhamdulillah, the author summarized the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha.